this morning's scripture is found in the book of Hebrews, verses 1 through 6. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him."
For all humanity, sin in our life separates us from the presence of God. So it is common for people to feel as if God does not exist, or if he does exist, he doesn't care about us as individuals. He's just the big watchmaker that creates this perfect system and then sets back and lets it run. Let's see what happens. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Even as Christians, we can allow ourselves to take on beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors that cause us to question God's presence with us and even his faithfulness and love towards us. Our scripture this morning shows us how the Father sent his Son to prove that our Heavenly Father is with us and cares for us through coming to us as a human being. Today we will see God in human form in three portraits. Jesus is God's message given to us in flesh. Jesus is God's glory given to us in flesh. And finally, Jesus is God's majesty given to us in flesh. Each of these portraits show us a different perspective that leads us to adore Christ the Lord. Just listen. Oh, come, let us ways in the past, but now in these these last days, he has spoken but one time and in one way by his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's message to all humanity in flesh and blood and bone. This Son of God who came to speak with us is the appointed heir of all things. This designation of the Son as heir of all things does not imply that in any moment, the Son did not possess all things. As the Son of God, all things were his. The phrase magnifies the position and status of the Son when he enters the world. Jesus said in John 16:15, all that belongs to the Father, Jesus entered the world as a baby in a manger. That baby owned all creation. Jesus was Lord as his birth because the Son was the one through whom God created the universe. God the Father created all that exists through his Son. The Father spoke his will, let there be light, and through the miraculous power of the word of the Son of God, there was light, and then everything else which exists. Oh, come, all ye faithful, come to Bethlehem and behold him. Come to Bethlehem, the city of David, where it was foretold the Messiah would be born. Come to Bethlehem and see the creator of the universe, the one who owns it all, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, because there was no room for the Lord. About what we believe, we must receive and believe that Jesus is God's message of the way, the truth, and the life. When the troubles of life tempt us to give up on Jesus, we must receive and believe that Jesus is God's message in flesh, that the Father will never give up on us. When people treat us badly because we belong to Jesus, we must receive and believe that Jesus is God's message to us in flesh. And as Jesus overcame all the evil of the world, so shall we too triumph over all. We must receive and believe in Jesus, for Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our only way out of our doubt and confusion. The life of Jesus in us is the only way we will successfully endure the troubles and persecutions of this life. Well, how can we receive and believe Jesus as God's message of flesh and blood to us? That too is a merciful act of God's grace. We come to receive and believe in Jesus when the Father draws us to believe in the Son. The Apostle Paul put it this way: for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. And Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. The Apostle Paul also wrote, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Therefore, when the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's child, then we know we have received and believed that Jesus is God's message to us. If we do not yet have that assurance that we are a child of God because we have believed in the message of Jesus, we can pray that God will draw us to Himself. And if we can willingly and sincerely ask God to draw us to Himself, that is already evidence that God is at work in our life, because we could not do that on our own. It is only by God's gracious mercy that He causes us to ask for His help. Because this baby in a manger is the creator of the universe and Lord of all that exists, Jesus is God's glory given to us in the flesh. The Son is the radiance of God's glory in the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus contained all the perfections of God in His character. Jesus was perfect in His goodness, perfect in love, perfect in grace, perfect in mercy, and therefore Jesus is perfect in His judgment. Jesus radiated the perfect character of God, which is the essence of God's glory. Remember when Moses asked the Lord, Lord, show me your glory. The Lord said to him, I will cause my goodness to pass before. The visual image of the Greek word translated radiance is one of brilliant rays of light like a glorious sun. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, a new glorious day broke into the darkness of humankind. Because God Himself was here in flesh and blood to tell us and to show us that He loves us and does not want any of us to perish for our sins, but wants us of God's goodness is lacking in Christ's representation of the Father to us. Everything we need to know about the Father is fully represented to us in Jesus. Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. In Jesus, the Father has caused his glory, his goodness, to pass before us in visible form, in flesh and blood. When we see God's goodness in the act of creation, all that he created was good, and that which was good was created. That same miraculous, powerful word of the Son of God now sustains all that he created, including you and me, and everything good that comes to each of us. Jesus never turns his attention away from you or from me, not even for one nanosecond. For if he did, we would cease to exist. We are sustained by the power of his word, his personal attention to each of us in every moment of our lives. This teaches us that our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, is active and laser focused on delivering everything that is necessary for our well-being. And the point of all of that is to show that our good Father sent Jesus to provide purification for sins. Here's the message of God in Jesus' own words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father. Knowing that everything had been finished, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations." While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him. Having paid the price for the purification of sins in his own flesh and blood, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. That is to say that Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father in the seat of honor and glory and power to receive the worship that he is due. God of God, light of light, the full radiance of the Father's glory came to us, born of Mary, a young virgin, adopted by Joseph, her husband, and was known as the carpenter's son. The babe lying in a manger came to lay down his life for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the world. Let's adore him. Oh, to joining in the worship of Jesus at least weekly with my church family. Beyond our private and corporate worship, we must worship Christ the Lord in and before a world that does not receive and believe that Jesus is God's message in flesh to everyone, everywhere, for all time. How can we be faithful in our private worship, our worship together, and our worship in an unbelieving world? We set aside time daily to spend time growing in our relationship with Jesus through devotional Bible reading and prayer. We're faithful together with our church family for worship on Sunday morning and at other times of worship, in times of prayer, in times for serving and fellowshiping with each other and others. We help others in their times of need. James tells us, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself. We become like Jesus as we worship him, and then we care for those in the world as Jesus cared. We are attentive to those who are seeking to learn more about Jesus or his church. When we see that happening, we know the Holy Spirit is at work because God is drawing people himself. God causes people to ask those questions. So we engage these persons in the most normal and natural conversations and actions as possible, trusting that God has put us in the right place at the right time, and he will show us what to do and what to say. Because Jesus, the Lord of all, the creator and sustainer of all the radiance of the Father's glory, and the God who in his flesh and blood paid the price for our sins, we receive and believe that Jesus is the majesty of God given to us in flesh. Majesty is a quality of a person's strength, power, and authority. Verse 4 begins with "so," which means, because of everything we have said concerning Jesus, this follows. He became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. In this passage, Jesus' name is the chief indicator of Jesus' superiority to angels. The name, Son, indicates Jesus' strength, power, and authority as heir of all things, creator of all things, sustainer of all things, including angels. Jesus is therefore superior to the angels in his name, Son of God. Superior to the angels in his status as Son of God. The name Son speaks to Jesus' special work as Savior of all creation. While on earth, Jesus showed us God's ruling majesty in his control over disease and death, his mastery over nature, and his dominion over Satan and his demonic host, and his perfect atonement for the sins of humankind, securing the grace and mercy of forgiveness for all who will receive. Mere angels could never do this work. This work requires the Son of God. Jesus is therefore superior to the angels in his ability, in his work accomplished. Yet there is more. Son speaks of relationship, the intimate relationship between Father and Son. Verse 5 reads, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my Son, today I have become your Father,' or again, 'I will be his Father and he will be my Son'?" The answer we are meant to give to this question is, the Father never said this to any angel. Jesus is ultimately superior to angels because Jesus is family. And the angels are family servants. Through Jesus Christ, the gift of God to us in human flesh, we have been adopted into the family of God, sons and daughters of God. We are family too. Because of Jesus' superiority to all the heavenly hosts, the Father says, "Let all my angels worship him." Amen. angels do worship. They worship with all their might. Angels worship with us because, like us, they see Jesus is superior in all things, in every respect, because Jesus is God in flesh and bone. Jesus is the Word, the message of God to us. Jesus is God's glory and God's ruling majesty come to us. All the fullness of God within a fully human Jesus. Sing, choirs of angels. Sing in exultation. Sing glory to God. Glory in the highest. Let's sing. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. As we stand in awe of the ruling majesty of the Lord of all, cradled in the manger, what does the Father require of us? The Father requires that we bend our knee in willing submission to His Son. When what we want conflicts with what we know, our knowledge of the Bible, or through our knowledge of the Bible and the inward spirit of the wit of the Spirit, try that again. When what we want conflicts with what we know about God and about Jesus and their will through our knowledge of the Bible, and conflicts with the inward witness of the Spirit, we must yield to the majestic rule of Jesus. When our loyalty and service to anyone, any organization, or any cause becomes more important to us than knowing and doing the will of our Lord Jesus, we must realign our priorities with the majestic rule of Jesus in our lives. When the world pressures us to abandon faithfulness to Jesus in any way, we must bow our knee only to the majestic reign of Jesus. We submit to the majestic reign of Jesus in all these situations and more when we receive and believe that Jesus is God's message to us in flesh. Echoing John 1:14, our carol rings out these words. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. The Apostle John wrote, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In our worship, privately, corporately, and in the worship of the good works that we do for others in the name of Jesus, when we're doing these things, we submit to the majestic reign of Jesus in our life. In refusing to give in to private and public attitudes, teachings, and behaviors that Jesus is anything less than God Almighty, we submit to the majestic rule of Christ the Lord. All of this is possible as we submit to the life of Jesus in us. The life of Jesus enables us to receive and believe him, to worship him, and to submit to his reign in our lives, in our church family, and in the world. We can't do it in our strength, in our power. But we can certainly do all of this and more through the power of Jesus, who creates and sustains all things through his powerful word. The power of the life of Jesus grows strong in us when we make it our greatest desire and our greatest investment to come and adore Christ. Precious Lord Jesus, help us to receive and believe that you are God's message to us in flesh and blood. Help us to receive and believe that you are the radiance of the glory of the Father, his exact representation to us. And through these words, deep into our hearts, Lord. Let this be.